would really like to warmly welcome again Ali. She's an erotic vitality coach, a licensed clinical social worker, and an embodied artist, and many other things I might add. And today she's talking to us about holding, embodying spirit, the spiritual and sexual space. So we're sold sex, and at the same time, we're taught to hold shame and fear and judgment around our sexuality. And I'm really looking forward to hearing what Ali has to offer us. And just quickly before we launch into that, I would like to just quickly remind you that if you would like to join us here in the panel, please raise your hand. Nicola will bring you into the room. So at the moment, you're seeing Ali, but if you come into the room with the rest of the panelists, you can have your video on and engage directly. So that's an option. And I think that's all for now. And so a very warm welcome again, and over to you, Ali.
Thank you so much. And hello, Mark from Virginia. And who else do we have here? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm half blind. Calopi from Melbourne. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If there's anybody else that wants to tell me where you're from, I'd love to hear. Okay, so I am Ali Montgomery, and I am located in Oakland, California. And I, as I said before, I'm an erotic vitality coach, and I have been working with the goddess Sekhmet, who is an Egyptian goddess, for the last 25 years. Let's see. Oh, Bethany from Calgary. I love Calgary. I have family there. Oh, yes. Okay. So let me keep going. So the goddess Sekhmet, let me just turn this a little bit so you can see her. This is the goddess Sekhmet. She has got the body of a woman and the head of a lion. And she is an ancient deity. Okay. Oh, hello, somebody else. Oh, Cecilia from Monterey. Okay. So I've been a practicing priestess working with Sekhmet for the last 25 years, and that has been quite a journey. Sekhmet's temples were dedicated to healing and to sex magic. She is both a warrior and a healer. And let me start by saying I'm not a theologian, but I have definitely done a lot of research for myself in regards to spirituality. I was raised Roman Catholic. I have worked in different traditions such as Native American, Lukumi, Ifa, and working also in other, like Baptist and Lutheran, other mainstream, and Baha'i. So I have had a wide level of exposure to different spiritual practices. Oh, don't forget Buddhism. And I have worked with all of these different types of ways of engaging with spirituality in order to find my own path. I firmly believe that all rivers lead to the ocean. So in my young 20s, I started to explore sexuality as well. So I've actually been exploring spirituality pretty much my whole life. And in my young 20s, I started to explore sexuality. What is this? Why am I here? What am I doing? Am I doing it right? It's all on, where's the manual? Okay, so there was no manual. So as I was working with Sekhmet, I started to understand that I was being redesigned and shifted around in my beliefs. And what I came to understand was that I can be both a sexual being, and a spiritual being at the same time. I firmly believe that, I'm in America, that regardless of whether or not somebody is raised in a spiritual context, the simple fact that the country was founded by Puritan structures and religious structures, that it's heavily woven into the fabric of our country. And I'm pretty sure that's true for most countries as well. So a lot of these spiritual practices or religious doctrines have a lot of shame and guilt embedded in them. And for me, that's always been a challenge. My mother always said, God doesn't make any mistakes. So, well, if that's the case, then I'm not a mistake and my sexuality is not a mistake. And so why is there this overlay? So traditional, let's say Abrahamic religions. So that would be Catholicism, not Buddhism, Catholicism, Baha'i, Muslim, Lutheran, all of those religions have actually got an overlay in regards to you're supposed to be able to procreate, and that's sacred. But sexuality has this level of shame and judgment. And for me, that discord is what I've probably spent the last 15 years working on and really trying to understand why that is and also how to dismantle it. So as human beings, we're biologically wired for pleasure. Like we've got nerve endings galore in our sexual reproduction area. And that is not true of other mammals. So there's no other reason except for pleasure that those things are wired that way. So then why is there this context of shame connected with pleasure? And that does not make any sense to me. And why would we want that? And I don't believe, in my own spiritual belief, that it's supposed to be that way, right? And we can have other conversations at other times in regards to, and I have with other people, in regards to what do you do with that energy? And that energy, when you can't, when you're not allowed to use it for sexual pleasure, you repurpose that energy for other creativity. And that's an important aspect to understand. The energy has to go somewhere, right? So I decided to embrace my spirituality and embrace my sexuality. So my work with SecMet has taught me to actually unpackage that. So I want to say that I am actively creating a community of people that are interested in doing more of that. And so in the chat, I have put in a link strictly for embodied people that are here at the Embodiment Conference that are interested in learning more and doing a SecMet ritual meditation, which is an energetic sex magic ritual. I will be hosting that next week on at this Thursday, an hour earlier. With that said, what I'd like to invite you now to do is to have a bit, just a small bit of an experience of what is it like to energetically run your body in a place where you're spiritually grounded and you're allowed to hold and embrace your sexuality. So, with that said, I would like to invite you all to get comfortable. I'm gonna take a sip of water. Get comfortable sitting, laying down, whatever it is that your body needs. And if you're comfortable, I'm going to invite you also to close your eyes. And where we're going to go is we're going to go to the ancient lands of Egypt, the time when my goddess was born. At this time, 5,000 years ago in Egypt was a vast green wonderland. There were verdant fields, rolling hills of green. There were lush papyrus marsh. And papyrus looks like dandelions, the type that you blow off into the breeze. They look like that, but they're 12 to 15 feet tall. And the Nile River was a slow rolling river. It would create floodplains where it would saturate the fields for people to grow all of their food. This was a beautiful time where people moved at a much slower pace. So I invite you to her lands. These beautiful verdant fields, and find yourself possibly laying out in the middle of one of them. You can see the papyrus. Maybe you're laying under a palm tree next to the flowing waters, listening to the water lapping along the shorelines. Breathing in the fresh air, feeling the gentle warm breeze as it crosses and caresses your skin. The sounds of all of these beautiful birds, the ones that are on the water and the ones that are flying above, searching for its next meal in the waterfront. The reeds of the papyrus that have fallen, laying on top of the water, like a raft that you can lay on, simply swaying in the water. Seeing the beautiful antelope, which hooves are perfectly splayed to play amongst the papyrus. These are her ancient lands. As you lay there in the warm, comfortable sun, feeling the support of these lands, I invite you to open yourself just a little to your own higher self, your own spiritual guidance. Where you are is sacred ground. It is holy. And I invite you to find that part of you that is so sacred, and to open yourself to just be in these beautiful lands, connecting with your sacred being, and feeling the sanctity of who you are. Feel the vibrations in your body, in your feet, in your hands, in your heart. Breathe in. And release. Release any judgment, any shame, and know that right at this moment, all you are is that beautiful sacred being. That innocence. That wisdom. That completely holy part of you. It is always there. Always present. always searching. I invite you to feel yourself breathing in and out as this sacred being. Feel the air giving rise and fall to your ribs. The rise and fall of your soft belly. The beauty of breath and being. I invite you now to feel the chest above your ribs. Feel the flesh of your skin. Noticing as it touches the air or the clothing that you may be wearing. Notice any sensations, vibrations, warmth. Notice your areolas, your nipples, and feel them as you are breathing. No judgment. Just that there is sensation in the being. Your body in being. Notice your spine, your Kundalini channel. Breathing in and allowing it to relax, to feel supple. I invite you to notice your thighs. Your thighs are the biggest muscles in your body. They hold all of your memories. The good, the bad, the indifferent. Breathe in and see if you can get them to relax just a little bit more. Notice your hips and where your spine hits. Breathe in with your soft belly and allow yourself to feel your spine. Allow yourself to feel your hips, your pelvic bowl. A place of simplicity and complication. Notice any sensations, vibrations, warmth, wetness, expansion, excitement, and just breathe. Noticing how your pelvic bowl feels. Your spine undulating with serpent energy. Your chest relaxed, full. Notice any sensations in your sex. Can you allow yourself to feel it? What happens when you do? Can it just be? Or do you notice contraction, judgment, shame, fear? You're not required to do anything but be. Allow yourself to fill. Fill with spirit. Fill with orgasmic pleasure. Just gentle waves of it. Notice if you have the sensations in your feet. Is there warmth or tingling? Or did you forget your feet? Can you feel your body? Because when we're full with spirit and we're full with our sexual being, we are whole, healthy and whole. My motto is my sex is worship and my orgasm is offering. There is connection between myself, my body, my spirit. There is no place I need to feel shame or contraction. To just feel sacred, whole, healthy, and to know that my sexuality is part of my physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental health. It procreates our species. It enlivens us. It gives us energy to create art, joy, relationships, all of these things. Our pelvic fold is our cauldron of creation. I invite you to spend just a few more moments here feeling, noticing the sensations starting from your toes, the bottom of your feet, your ankles, your calves, your thighs, all the way up your hips, your spine, your belly, your ribs, your breasts, your shoulders, your arms, your wrists, your hands, your neck, your face, and up to the top of your head where you always connect with your spirits. Complete. Perfect, whole. Without judgment, without fear, without shame. Can you connect with this aspect of yourself? It's a slow process or not, but it is a choice. And I choose to feel whole and connected as a perfectly beautiful sexual being. I invite you to slowly wiggle your toes, to bring yourself back, wiggling your fingertips, maybe rolling your shoulders, slowly, slowly opening your eyes, the soft gaze to bring yourself back into whatever place you are. And I wanted to make sure I left time for some questions and answers, because I feel like that is how we grow, is by having conversation. If you can feel something in your body, you can grow it. It's like anything else, you plant the seed. So if you have questions, please put them in the Q&A or the chat. I'm not sure. I'm going to let the person that's facilitating in the background tell me.
Yes, Q&A is ideal. Here we go. We've got a question. Do you have any insight on the achieving of orgasm and its correlation with vulnerability?
Yes, it's huge. First of all, your vulnerability is your power. We have to be able to, like, I was speaking to someone today around their inability, like, you have to be able to actually speak your truth in your relationships. You have to speak it to yourself first, but then you have to be able to speak it to others if you're engaged with them. But let's just step back. If you're talking about just orgasm with yourself, then there is absolutely a level of vulnerability, because most of us are not taught how to have pleasure in our bodies, our minds, or, you know, like, we can go out and do it, but it's something out there, it's not here. And so it's extremely vulnerable to learn what is pleasurable to ourselves in our own body. And then it's even more vulnerable to actually speak to another, to ask for what you want. And yet that is absolutely what we need to do in every relationship, is to be able to articulate it. It is huge. And when you do, it's so much more pleasurable. There's this piece of you that just gets completely freed up in your ability to be vulnerable. That doesn't mean putting yourself at risk in any way that you're not comfortable with. I want to be clear on that, but the vulnerability to try things that you didn't know you wanted, that's another thing, very vulnerable. Thank you for that question.
And we have another question. Do you think you've been an Egyptian in a past life?
You Repeat that one more time.
Do you think you've been an Egyptian in a past life?
Yes, I'm positive I have. I don't know why, but I am positive I have been Egyptian in a past life.
And we have another question. Orgasm with a partner with an asterisk. With oneself, it tends to be easier. I'm not sure if that's a question or a statement. There's no question mark.
Okay, so yes. And I will say that for many people, and I'm going to say this more so for women, we're trained to have orgasm with a partner, or we're talked about that, especially spiritually, before we're ever talked about having orgasm for ourselves. And so it's important for us to be able to understand that that is actually something, a gift that we can give to somebody. But if we have, it's like a car, right? You can't tell someone to go drive a car if you don't know, here, drive my car. How do you drive it? I don't know. I've never driven it. So it's always important to know how to drive your own car so that you can tell people, oh, well, you know, the steering wheel kind of goes like this when you go over bumpy road, whatever it is. So the idea is, yeah, we do have generally more experience having sex with others than, or orgasm with others than we do with ourselves. Not uncommon.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm not sure how to pronounce S-E-K-H-M-E-T.
Sekhmet. Yes, Sekhmet. And you can make it even short, Sekhmet, right? Yeah. Because actually we aren't positive because nobody speaks hieroglyphs. But I can tell you that if you take all the vowels out, that's how it was written.
Great, thank you. So the next question is, I'm very sorry if you've spoken to this already because I came in late, but I'd love to hear about your connection to Sekhmet and Sekhmet's connection to sexuality.
Okay, so I was receiving therapy by a woman that did Native American medicine wheel therapy, but she had all of these icons around the room. And she would change them. And so at one point she brought in a statue, actually it's upstairs, of Sekhmet. And she noticed that after she brought it in, I kept going over and cleaning it every time I came in. And she said, you've been chosen, you need to take it home. And I was like, what are you talking about? And so I did a lot of research and realized that she has morphed through different iterations of names in Egyptian mythology. She has gone to different countries and her temples were dedicated. She was definitely perceived mostly as a warrior and a healer, but they also believe that that Tantra actually might've come out of her temples. There is some sex magic that comes from her temples. And they're just starting to unearth some of these things. Like one of the things that you can, what is her name? Betsy, she's an archaeologist. And there's a whole back porch ritual where Sekhmet was, they basically had lots of libation and it was basically drugs, sex, and spirituality in honor of the goddess in order to bring the inundation of the Nile, because you needed to have the water rise to enough to flood the field so you could eat, not so much that it took out the houses, and not so little that you starved to death. So that's some of the Sekhmet and how I learned, but I've been doing research over her on her for about 25 years. And then because I've developed a relationship with her, I ended up having a download of a ritual meditation, which is the offer in the chat that I do once a month. But I'm going to do a special one for you guys next week. I hope that answered.
And we just have one more comment, which is this person reads past lives for a living, and she has, and that would be in response to the question I'd say earlier on about if you had an Egyptian past life, if you were an Egyptian in past life. Ah, okay. What do you mean by sex magic, Ellie?
Okay, so I'm a practicing witch, and sex magic means that you are using your sexual energy, raising your sexual energy for a higher purpose. When I'm usually raising my energy sexually, it's an offering to the goddess, right? That's, people pray, I have orgasm. That is my connection with my goddess. And so the ritual that I lead is an energetic ritual. And so it goes through the symbols that are embedded in Sekhmet, which I go over, there are five of them. What happens though is that when I do the ritual with many people, for a lot of people it's very orgasmic. And I figure that's not a bad thing, right? For some people it's a little intimidating. For some people they just feel hot, really hot. And you know, I had one person, oh my God, I got this download I've been trying to figure out for months, and then they were out. So the idea is for sex magic though, is that you're raising sexual energy for whatever that purpose is. It doesn't require clothes off.
Okay, I'm just looking through the chat and I've got one here. Your sex is worship, your orgasm is offering. Well, what does that mean?
Pretty much, you were paying attention. Thank you. it means pretty much that. So whenever I am engaged in sexual relationships with my partner is really clear that that I am in worship, right? So for me, having sex is like going to church. And then my orgasm being offering is what I was saying earlier, that I do a lot of recitation of her names every day. I do a lot of other things, but my orgasm is also an offering. I give that up in a spiritual way. So that's exactly what I mean, that it may be pleasurable to me, but it's even more pleasurable when I am saying, this is for you, right? People beat themselves. I have sex for it, for my spirituality. I'm not into the pain.
And do you want me to keep reading questions or are you sort of, yeah, okay. No,
yeah.
How does practice work for men too?
How does this work for what?
Men. Yeah.
How does this work for men?
Yes, it's there's a typo there, I think. It's MJEN, and I'm assuming that's men.
Well, it works exactly the same. When I do, here's the thing. I primarily work with women because that is who's drawn. When I've done these at conferences, I have up to 200 people, men, women, not children. So, you know, different people. And I invite them to do the ritual by themselves or with somebody else. And as I said, it's not about having sex with somebody else. It's about it's about running energy. And so if you ask me, I think that it is that she's a warrior. And so there's this divine feminine and then there's the warrior feminine. And so I think what it does is it just runs through the feminine side because we always have our masculine and feminine aspects. And so for Sekhmet, I just believe that it runs through the feminine side, but it's all the same.
Yeah, great, thank you. And another question. You mentioned other Sekhmet symbols being something you teach about. What are the symbols and what do they have to do with sexuality/spirituality?
Okay. So if you look at many depictions of Sekhmet, in her left hand, she's holding a sekhem, a staff, and that symbolizes power. Sekhmet means powerful. In her right hand, she's usually holding an ankh, key, and that's a life force. And then, excuse me, may I borrow you for a second? If you, oh, the reflection's too bright in here. If you look at the top of her head, there is a serpent, a cobra coming out. And that is specifically about the Kundalini channel, right? Then the next symbol is the Ujjat, the third eye. It's your seat of consciousness. And the last one is the solar disk that's over the top of the head. And that's the connection to the universal. That's the connection to spirit. So in a perfect world, you're raising these the energy up your Kundalini channel, connecting with your consciousness and connecting with higher spirit. So it's like the cosmic orgasm that everybody's looking for. So the idea is that it's just a channel. And our sexuality, our vibrancy, right? It's where our play comes from. And it's what keeps us going. It's what keeps us youthful. It's what keeps us going and healthy in a lot of ways. It moves things through our systems to where we don't end up in dis-ease or disease, because we're moving toxic energies through our system. And honestly, when you're doing that, you also end up going, "Ooh, this is fun." So.
Yeah. We've also got, so this is, I missed this one. It's from earlier on. Completely agree. How does one go outside of their heads with a partner? I feel like the interaction of two souls makes it more difficult.
Did you read that first part again? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Completely agree. How does one get outside of their heads with a partner?
Oh, boy, the ego, the head is a pain in the patoot. That's a hard one. It really is. Honestly, the easiest way I've found is to keep going through the orgasmic field, because I can't think if I am in orgasm, honestly. And so it may be that you need to figure out, like, who takes longer, right? So the average woman, it takes at least 20 minutes to get her hot warmed up. That's just the way our biology works. So you're getting her to a place. And the question then is that, is she capable of multiple orgasms? So if she doesn't know, that's a good question to find out about, right? So as you're going along, so, you know, honestly, like, when I'm dealing with my partner or for penetration, right? If I haven't had at least 3 to 5 orgasms, don't try and enter me. That's just all there is to it, because I need to be high enough up in the field for you to be able to come with, right? And then we can slow down, or how do we actually merge, right? The other thing is for a man, can they slow down once they've entered, or can they actually, so there's a lot of work that a woman can do, and you guys can do it independent, one on the other, and then figuring out how to merge it. But working the perineum, working on, a lot of times there's men do the suppression of the ejaculation. There's all of those things that can be done in regards to allowing yourself to be in the field of sensation that is that wide, right? There's plenty of things out there that you can do, but ultimately it's really about being vulnerable, as somebody asked earlier, with your partner, and figuring out how to open up those sensations and stretching them out, right? Can you actually ride the waves? Can you actually ride the waves until you're at a point where the two of you can be together and just be connected? And that does it, right? Can you breathe together and feel orgasmic? Can you penetrate and not without really moving and feel completely orgasmic? That it doesn't require all of the acrobatics to be unified and orgasmic. And that just really comes from patience, love, connection, and vulnerability.
Coming home to our bodies.
Yeah.
There's another question. Do you think Mary Magdalene practiced sex magic?
Nobody's ever asked me that, but the answer is yes. I do. Yeah.
Interesting contemplation, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Mary Magdalene was Jesus's wife, and they have children. And yes, I absolutely believe that. Sacred, holy, and a sexual being. But don't tell the popes that. They'll be pissed off.
And the person who asked that question has said me too. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Are there also other people working with SecMet? Is there a community doing this?
You know, it's interesting because SecMet is a deity that is intimidating for a lot of people to work with. I do know other people that work with her. I don't know necessarily other people that work with her in the same way that I do. Not saying they don't, right? There are definitely people that believe that she's a sexual being. But it's not like ISIS where there's a million of them, right? All over the place where everybody's working with ISIS. So we do have connections. There are ways that you can stay connected with other people. There are SecMet groups on Facebook, although I don't really care for Facebook. I belong to it. And for myself, I am working on building a larger community. Primarily, I have a small group of women that I'm working with, and I am looking to build that because I think it's really important that there's more unification and more people that are able to work with SecMet in this way.
This one's not a question, but I want to read it out. Love, love, love your message, Ali. Thank you. This sacred, holy, sexual being is smiling and filled with joy. And there's another question. We'll keep going with questions. We've got a few more minutes. Where are you up to? Okay. Can you give a little more insight into the dialogue you have with SecMet? Is your relationship with her finite or never ending?
Wow. I'm going to say never ending. And I think that has to do with the fact that I do believe I've had a past life with her. I think the hard part for me was believing it. Because I would get this information and I would be like, what am I doing with this? And why am I, And so I had to learn to trust myself. I had to learn, and that's one of the things I work in community about, is like, I have a relationship with SecMet. You guys have a relationship with SecMet. You're learning certain things from me, but that doesn't mean you can't trust your own gut, right? And so learning to understand the insights that we get and the truths are so important. They're so important. So when the ritual meditation was coming through me and my partner, and I was doing all of this background work, Nikki Scully's book came out and I was like, I'm going to go see her. And I got, no. Okay, that was weird. And then somebody got me the book and she was like, no. So I own the book. I still haven't read it. And what I've come to find out is that, oh, she wants me to stay whole and true to what she's teaching me, as opposed to looking at somebody else's work, because we as individuals tend to doubt ourselves. And it's like, oh, well, maybe I'm supposed to pay attention to that, or maybe I need to find out that better way, right? There's this, it's that ego part. And what I have gotten from her is, no, you need to stay in your lane. You're teaching something, you're learning something, and I need you to learn this and to teach this. Well, okay, right? Because if you had asked me 10 years ago, would I be sitting on a computer talking to people about sex magic and SecMet? I'd have told you, hell no, you're crazy. I don't want to talk to people in public. I don't like being the center of attention. And here I am. So I have learned to trust the process. And it's been a hell of a ride. And so, and I do believe it continues. Yeah.
We've got a couple of more minutes. Would you like to round up or where would you like to go?
Well, I just want to make sure if there's no more questions, then I will go ahead and round off. But I really wanted to make sure because this is such a, it's not the norm. It's not a, a lot of people don't know about her, that the height concept is a little different. So I just want to make sure that everybody feels good. So we good on the questions?
There's about four more there. So maybe do you want to take a quick look at them and see if there's one that you would like to finish off with? How's that? Is that a good
one? All right. Here, this is like the, okay, I'm half blind. Let me see.
I can read them if you prefer.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out where they are.
Little button, Q&A, and there's a little red
Q&A. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Where am I? Oh, priestly celibacy was invented long after Christ. Yes, that is true. We would not be a species if we were all celibate. How can you stay connected to your emerging segment group? And she came to me in 2009. I've been in service since. Oh, beautiful. Oh, yes, Sacred Whores. Woo! yes, that is a perfect term for it. Thank you so much. So my website is Soul, S-O-U-L, Liberation Services. And there is always a contact me button on that. Or you can just send an email to Ali, A-L-I, at soulliberationservices.com. That's how you can find me. You can find me on Instagram under Soul Liberation Services. And you can also find me on Facebook under Ali Montgomery. Can't be confusing for us men, one gal, woman, the beast with the energy. Very plus. Any tips on this, guys? Okay, be she for us men. One gal wants man to be beast with energy, while another one. Yeah, that's a hard one. So women. So if you actually allow women to be vulnerable and who they want to be, they, I think, generally have higher libidos and want more sex than men. That's what I have observed. So that's the first piece. So, but there are, you know, what do we call them? Not the word stereotypes. What is that word I'm looking for? Basically, it's a question of who is the woman that you have in front of you? And I'm going to say that you really need to find someone that's going to match your energy and temperament so that you can go high together and you can go low together and you can go medium together. Okay. And ask, is this really who you want to be? Is there more to you that you want to explore? Because when I met my partner, there were things I said, oh no, I don't do that. And he was like, really? And then I realized, oh wait, I didn't do that because I thought I shouldn't, because of some story in my head and my Catholicism left over and all of these other things. And it was like, oh no, actually I want to do all of those things. And can I have some more of that, please? Right? So if we're stuck in a good girl model and we're supposed to be subservient, which is the model, then that's always going to screw us up. So you actually have to go back to that vulnerability around honesty. Honesty is so important in any relationship. I don't even care if it's a one-night stand. If they can't be honest and say what they want, then there's always going to be a mismatch. So I'm just going to say, keep asking. And if they're not congruent with you, then just let it say, you know, I don't think this is going to work. And that's okay. There will be the right bus that will come along. How does it work?
Sorry, I had to interrupt. We've got a couple more minutes, so I think that's a really good place to round it off, Ali.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Really good place to round it off, actually. Thank you so much. really profound. And what strikes me is that it's such important discussions to have, isn't it, that to continue these discussions and keep them alive and awake. And there's a lot of love in the chat for you. Thank you so much for the insightful responses. Thank you for your gift of sharing. Feels great. Yeah. So everybody, thank you for joining us. And if you enjoyed this, there's plenty more happening, obviously, with the Embodiment Conference. We welcome you to have a look and join other presentations. And if it's something that you want to keep going beyond, because it's free for the next 48 hours. And if you'd like to re-watch this talk, that will be available where you can actually just click on the link and re-watch and revisit some of this profound wisdom we've been offered. And there's also the option to buy the package, which is 50% off until the end of the conference. I know that I did before the conference even started. And I have to say the Australian dollar is woeful. It's nearly twice as much, but it was a no-brainer, because for me, I can see that I'm going to continue re-watching all of these talks for many years. I was going to say the rest of my life, but you know, however that plays out. So yeah, look, thanks again, Ali. And is there anything in a sentence that you would like to offer us, given that this is the Embodiment Conference? What would be your top embodiment tip?
Let your sex be worship and your orgasm be offering would be my final thing. And I would just, if you need have any other questions, just email me. Thank you.